The first reading is from Amos, chapter 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing behind a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, and sent Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me and following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all his wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was John who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted him put to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give to me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 6. As you know, we're in the process of moving. So I'm spending a lot of time packing boxes and going through stuff. This is what I need. This is what I don't need. Holy cow, I haven't touched this in 10 years. Time to get rid of some of the junk. Well, one of the things I came across was a newspaper article. And the title of it was, "Are We on the Brink of World War III?" And the article was talking about Israel fighting Hamas in the Gaza Strip and Hezbollah in Lebanon. The article talked about two Israeli soldiers who had been taken prisoner. But the focus of the article was some Islamic terrorist leader, he and his family, were killed. Israel, in the article, blamed Iran for all their troubles. By the way, did I tell you the date of the article was 2007? Some things never change. Some Christians, by the way, as a side note, some evangelical Christians want the war over there to be broadened so that Christ will come a second time. They think once Israel defeats all of its enemies, then Christ will come a second time through the Mount of Olives. Really? All right. We face problems that are out of our control. We support justice and peace. But as we realize in the news from about October 7th on, Middle East is hell-bent on destroying Israel. Today's gospel lesson would make a fantastic movie because some things never change. It's a story of violence. It's a story of political intrigue. It's a story of Herod and John the Baptist. Most of you remember this story. And I'm sure it's been the subject of at least one Hollywood blockbuster, at least a theme about it. It's about lust, adultery, and murder, the abuse of power and corruption in high places, and a blow struck in the back of justice in the first century Palestine. The background of the lesson was people were asking, "Who is Jesus?" He's going around preaching and healing large numbers of people, and the people are asking, "Who is Jesus?" Mark chapter 8, Jesus asks point blank, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answer, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets of old." But Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" Then Peter answers correctly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The disciples got it right. Herod got it wrong. He thought that John the Baptist had come back from the dead just to haunt King Herod. In the gospel lesson, Herodias, that would have been Herod's stepdaughter, asked her mother what should she ask for when King Herod promised her up to half of the kingdom. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist. Now, wouldn't this make a great Sunday school lesson? They could make little cutout people, cut the head off, and put it on a circular disc for a platter. Nobody seems to think this is a good idea. This goes into my book, Sunday School Lessons That'll Never Be Taught. All right, I'll file it away from my book. But let's reflect for a few moments on how the disciples of John the Baptist felt. It had to have been an enormous blow to them that John had been executed. Prior to this, we don't know what the disciples of John expected the end result would be of following John. In other words, they didn't expect John to overthrow the Romans. He was a great religious reformer. He was an antagonist. He was an advisor to the leaders of the day. John the Baptist is often compared to Elijah. And we know from the Old Testament, Elijah challenged King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and incurred their wrath. Jezebel threw a fit wanting Elijah killed. But Elijah brought reform to the entire land. God had always kept Elijah safe. When he has to flee Queen Jezebel's wrath, he ends up making it to Mount Sinai in a cave where God feeds him there. But God had always spared Elijah. And maybe John the Baptist's disciples thought, God will spare John as well. It all comes to a bloody halt at the birthday party itself. Where was the hope of Israel now? In a sense, the disciples looked at it as the battle is lost. They had to felt despair. We feel despair in various situations in our life, like when a loved one is deceased. Afterwards, we have to tidy up the affairs, and it's easy to fall into despair with the world's present events. Maybe it's a thing I should give up one of these years at Lent and then a New Year's resolution. Give up watching the news. Unbelievable. But anyways, all was not lost because John was gone. The journey was far from over. The Word of God is not like a race where if the runner dies, the race is over. Somebody else picks up the baton and continues the run. The story in Mark chapter 6 is not the end of the story, it's the beginning. Herod realized that Jesus has taken the place of John the Baptist. In the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of John the Baptist continue. Others before John and after John would fall for the sake of the gospel, but the battle continues. We know that Jesus would fall when he was put to death, but again, he rose from the dead. Someday I will fall in the battle, but there will be somebody else to take my place, and the same with each and every one of you. The Word of God is like a flowing stream. You can throw a rock into the middle of it, and the water just goes around the rock. It keeps flowing in the direction it was meant to. There's no stopping it. We don't know what good came of the death of John the Baptist, except for then the people of Israel turned all their attention to Jesus. They had been divided between Jesus and John the Baptist. Now with John the Baptist gone, now the people are entirely focused on Jesus and asking that key critical question, who is Jesus? Every one of us has to answer that question. Who is Jesus? Answers vary by the number of people I would ask, I suppose. The brutal, destructive message of John the Baptist, the message of John, which some saw as brutal, was repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. When one falls, another one takes the place. It does a lot to help the suffering in the world. Because no matter what happens, God will be God and his work will continue. Love will triumph, and his kingdom will come. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.